children. And I just love life in general. I love pastoring this church. I love to laugh and joke and enjoy life with each one of you. And one of the joys of my life is in understanding the Word of God. And one of the real joys of my life is in understanding when something was written and in understanding how detailed and accurate it was many years later when it was fulfilled. We've been going through the book of Isaiah, and we had gotten up to chapter 49. And we had gotten to verse 6. And we were talking about verse 6 in Isaiah 49. This book was written in about 700 B.C., 700 years before Christ was ever born. And yet the reason you can know that you have the right to have absolute confidence that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be is that more than 700 years are about 700 years before he was born. These scriptures were written by the prophet Isaiah, and they detail his earthly ministry and his purpose here on this earth. Isaiah 49:6. And he said, "It is a light thing if thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel." Jesus said several times that he came to the Jews, to his own people. God knew he would be rejected, but God had a plan to redeem all of mankind, not just the Jews. And when God does something, he always does it right. Why does he say it's a light thing? God is the creator of all things. That blows the human finite mind. It absolutely blows it. He is all-knowing. That blows the human mind. He knows everything. Everything that ever has been, everything that is, and everything will be. He is omnipotent. He is everywhere and all-powerful. He is omniscient. Everywhere his spirit exists. It's hard to fathom that. He knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. He is eternal. And with all this, something that Paul said is even more staggering. For in him, that is in Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he says, what I'm going to tell you here is a light thing. It's something that God can do alone. But it's something that, being omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, it's a light thing that he says I'm about to do and tell you about before it happens. He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, the man Israel, and to restore the preserved of Israel. He said, it's a light thing to me. He said, I know everything, am everything. And when Moses asked God in the burning bush, whom should I say that sent me? He said, tell them I am has sent thee. I am means I exist. I've always existed. I will always exist. He said, I'm going to send my servant, my son, in whom all my feelings will dwell. And he said, he's going to redeem all those among the descendants of Jacob, whom God renamed Israel, that will put their faith and their trust in him. He said, they'll have to put their faith. They'll have to put their trust in him. They're going to have to come to me through him. And Jesus came, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so Jesus came. By and large, he was rejected by his own people. Today he is rejected by most of the world as we know it. And yet, God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, has in his own infinite wisdom chosen to accept those and receive those who will put their faith in him and trust him for their salvation, and in him alone. And he will raise up out of Israel in the final age all those who put their faith in the coming Messiah, either before he came, while he was here, or now that he has departed. But he indicated, let me tell you some more about this light thing. He said, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. He said, I'm going to go to all men, both Jew and Gentile. There isn't anything else that exists. You're either a Jew or a Gentile, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. He said he's going to be a savior to all men. Now, if God did that more than 700 years before it happened, told you it was going to happen, and you end up in hell, after he has borne this witness to you of what Jesus was going to do, and Jesus did it, then quite frankly, you have put yourself in hell. You have separated yourself from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And until you put your hope and your faith and your trust in him, you're bound for hell. Not because you're bad. We're all bad. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all unrighteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. More than 700 years before he was crucified on the cross, he said, I've got a purpose in this man, my son. In him dwells all my fullness, all that I am. And he said, you want to come to me? You've got to come through him. Now he talks about another time. He talks about a time in the future. Skipping down six verses in Isaiah 49. He says, behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Shechem. Land of Shechem meaning a term for people all over, everywhere. I hope you're one of them. I hope as I look out at you without trying to threaten you or out trying to preach something dynamic, I hope that I can look at you and have the assurance in my heart. And when the millennial reign arrives, after Jesus Christ has returned, that you will be on this earth, having been caught out previously, having been judged in heaven, and returned to the earth to witness this. Because from all over the earth, during the millennial reign of Christ, which follows his return to the earth with all the saved that he's raptured previously, judges in heaven and comes back, it's going to be the greatest gathering of people that has ever occurred on the face of this earth. The most important thing in this life is not who your father was, not who your mother was, not who your brothers and sisters are, not who your relatives are, not how much money you possess, not how much fame and recognition you achieve, not how well liked you are by the general public, not how famous you become. The most important thing in this life is what you do with your relationship with Jesus Christ to come to him and to be saved. That's the most important thing in your life. Nothing else is more important. All the other things pass away. Now there's going to come a time when all the saved will be raptured. They'll be caught up to heaven. And they'll be judged in heaven. Not for heaven or hell. That's decided right here. Depending on what you do with Jesus Christ. Whether you accept him and receive him as the total payment for your sins, or whether you're trying to work out some other plan of salvation, and there isn't any other gospel, there isn't any other plan of salvation. It's Jesus, nothing else. And if you have received him as your Savior, if your faith is in him, if you're trusting him and him alone to save you from what you are by birth and nature, a sinner, then you're going to get to go to heaven. Because of Christ and his blood sacrifice and his life lived for you, you're going to get to go, and you're going to be judged there, and you're going to come back to earth. Now, it ought to matter to you where you live on earth, because this great regathering that Isaiah talked about is going to be from all over the earth. They're going to be gathered from the United States, from Antarctica, from the Aborigines in Australia, from the Pygmies in the deepest part of Africa, from the furthest stretches of Asia and Mongolia, in Russia, from all over the world. There are going to be people gathered for this from all over the earth. A lot of people will go through the tribulation period. Certainly nothing compared to our more than 6 billion population today. But a lot of people are going in bodies of flesh. Oh, you won't be among them. You'll either go in because you've returned with Christ and you'll have a glorified body and you'll be on this earth and you'll get to see all this. But this great regathering is going to occur. I hope you want to be a part of it. I hope that you want, when you come back from heaven, to watch all this. There is a household of God, and Jesus came, both to Jew, and he came to Gentile. And he told the Gentiles in Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." I hope right now you're a child of God and a member of the household of God. In Daniel 7, 14, 15, this thing I talked about is real. It's the household of God. And right here is going to be what they call the kingdom city, the kingdom complex. Well, actually, the whole thing is the kingdom complex. It covers most of central Israel. If you're born again, if you're saved, if you know the Lord, you can accept this, because if you're saved, you accepted what the Lord said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've called upon the name of the Lord, if your faith is in Jesus, you can understand that from all over the earth, there are going to be people come through the tribulation period. Not a whole lot. But all the Jews are going to be regathered to this area. Before that happens, we're coming back with the Lord, and we're going to be in glorified bodies. And there's going to be a kingdom complex here. And those who were faithful in this church are going to live here for 1,000 years. Those people who were saved and come back with him that weren't faithful in his church, well, they're going to live on this new earth. They're going to have glorified bodies. It's not going to be a purgatory. It's going to be a wonderful place. This household of God has two sections: a kingdom city and a dominion outside of that kingdom city, the household of God. Now, what I'm really asking you here now is, do you want to live in this kingdom city, or do you want to live out in the dominion outside it? And in order to live in either place, you must first be saved. And until you are saved, you're not going to be a part of this. You need to be saved. The alternative is hell. The alternative is eternal separation from God. In Daniel 7, 14 through 15, a book written in 600 B.C., more than 600 years before Christ was crucified, Daniel 7, 14, 15 talks about when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation period, after it is finished, when he comes back to end the battle of Armageddon, and he talks about a kingdom that's going to be established, the one I just showed you, with a great kingdom complex and a kingdom city, and a whole dominion outside of it. I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. This is the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and there was given him dominion. That's the area, the whole earth, outside the kingdom city. And glory and a kingdom. There is a separation. There is a kingdom complex with a kingdom city. And there is a dominion that exists outside of it. It's still in the future. And what I'm asking you is, do you even want to be in heaven? Do you want to be on this new earth? Do you want to be in a glorified body? If you do, there's only one way. You have to escape the condemnation of God, and you have to do that by believing what he said. John 5, 24, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So if you hear his word, if you believe he sent Jesus Christ as his son, if you call on his name, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus will save you. And then as a saved child of God, when he comes back from heaven, bringing all the saved with him, you're either going to live here in this complex. This is the kingdom city. It's 8 miles by 8 miles by 8 miles. And inside it is a large temple that will be built during the millennial reign. And all this is a great heavenly kingdom. That's the kingdom. Everything outside it is dominion. So if you're already saved, what I'm asking you is, where do you want to live in this kingdom? And there was given him dominion and glory in a kingdom. In the dominion and in the kingdom city, you're going to have the whole household of God should serve him, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. It's going to, after 1,000 years, it's going to be a burning of this present earth, creation of a new earth. It has a kingdom city coming down on it, 3/5 the size of the United States. And outside it is a brand new earth, that is the dominion. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. So when you say heaven, heaven is equal to where the household of God lives. But I'm talking to you about the new, about the millennial reign. It has dominion outside the city, and it has a city. And for you in a glorified body, that's going to be heaven. It's where the household of God lives. The place which includes God's dominion and his kingdom. So if you're already saved, what I'm asking you is, where do you want to live? You say, well, I don't care. I'd just soon live in Tucumcari, New Mexico, or Boise, Idaho. Or I'd like to live in Pocatello, Idaho. And you know, Cleveland, Ohio is not too bad. And how about Minneapolis, Minnesota? Oh, I like Little Rock. How about Little Rock? How about Dardanelle? I'd just like to stay around here. Well, if you want that, you may get it. All you have to do is be unfaithful. Don't come to church. Don't serve God. Don't give to God. Cause problems. Don't ever change your personality or the way you look at life. You're saved. You're going to heaven. It's by grace through faith. That's no question of that. And you're going to end up out here in this dominion. If you don't want to live in this kingdom city, it's your choice. But if you're not saved, you're not going to live in either one. You've got to come to Jesus to be saved. You've got to come to Jesus to escape the condemnation of God. He said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You want to be separated from the lost and become one of the saved? You've got to come to Jesus. You've got to trust him. You've got to ask him to save you. And he saves you completely and entirely. Now, where is this kingdom? The kingdom is where the kingdom of heaven positions himself and his dominion in his kingdom city. I want to live in that kingdom city. Oh, I'm not worthy. Nobody's worthy except Jesus. But he's chosen. If we'll try to be faithful to him after we're saved in his church, he'll let us live in that kingdom city. And we ought to be vitally interested in this. The same word of God that you heard by which you were saved, this is the same word of God, and it's just as true. And you ought to want to be more concerned about where you're going to live for 1,000 years than for the brief time you're here. So you want to live in that city? Matthew 6:33. You know who was there when he said this? A bunch of men. His first New Testament church. They called out and organized. 12 of them. Here's what he said to them. They were already saved. They had repented of their sins. They had come to John. They had been scripturally baptized. They were saved. And Jesus called them out to be the members of his first New Testament church. They had the proper baptism, the same one that baptized all of them, baptized John. So they were saved. They were going to heaven. That was already settled. Notice what he told them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How do you seek the kingdom of God? It's very simple. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It's very easy. In whom you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Those were written in Ephesians 3:21 and Ephesians 3:22. You unite with the local church through baptism. Oh, it doesn't save you. You want to live out there in the dominion? Well, don't get baptized. And after you get baptized, you still want to live out there in the dominion? Then don't be faithful. And don't seek his righteousness. Just keep following your own definition of what's right and wrong. And don't look in the scriptures. Don't let anybody teach you about the scriptures. You just keep on believing your own idea of what's right and wrong. And don't let the scriptures teach you anything. Well, what's the purpose of the church? It's a local visible assembly. What's supposed to be done in it? That he might sanctify and cleanse them with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It's a local body where you try to learn the word of God, where you try to seek his righteousness, where you try to define what right and wrong is by the way he teaches and not by your own preconceived ideas. You say, that sounds hard. I didn't say it was easy. It's easy to get saved. You repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus, and that's over. It's done, and you're going to heaven. If that's all you do, I got good news for you. You're going to live out there in the dominion. But if you don't seek the kingdom of God after you've been saved, do not expect to live in that city. If it doesn't mean anything to you, And now the kingdom is open to both Jew and Gentile. Salvation has always been open to Jew and Gentile. But now God's given the Gentiles an opportunity to be a part of this kingdom. I'm a member of the household of God. Every one of you that know Christ as your Savior is a member of the household of God. And here we find them in heaven. Well, where is heaven at this time? A lot of people think, well, heaven is, at this time, is in the final heaven age. No. This is the millennial reign. It will also be this way in the final heaven age. But this has to do with what it's going to be like when we come back with Jesus, if we know him as Savior. Hebrews 12, 18, 22 through 24. For ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched that burned with fire, but nor unto blackness and darkness and temptness. He said, you're not called to the law of Moses like the Old Testament. He said that was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. For the law was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ that they might be justified by faith. And surely that great terrible mountain did burn with fire and shake. And they, the children of Israel said, don't let him speak to us anymore. We can't stand it. But ye are coming to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You say, well, that's talking about the final heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. Yeah, it is. But you're also going to have a kingdom city in the millennium. It's a kingdom city. It's real. To an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. That's your heavenly group. They're going to be here in the millennium on this earth. Are you going to be a part of it? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you do, you're going to live in the dominion or the kingdom, city, which either one, you're going to live on this earth. And we're going to take a look at this group. I'm a member of the household of God. Hadn't been determined yet where I'm going to live. That's being determined now by my teaching and preaching and by the word of God and by my submission to the will of his Spirit. Number one, you have the angels of God who chose to follow him. Number two, you have the Old Testament faithful listed in Hebrews 11. They're called the elders in 11:2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Who's listed in that chapter? These are the Old Testament faithful. That's the General Assembly. And here are the ones that were faithful. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, David, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and the prophets. They're all listed in here in Revelation 11, the old chapter. Oh, there'll be more Old Testament saints there than that, but that's just a representative sample that's listed in that chapter. I'm going to get to see them. I want to live where they live. You say, well, what's going to happen if you end up out in the dominion? If I end up there, I end up there. But I've got a race to run. I've got a race that Paul told me I was supposed to run. You've got a race too if you're saved. I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? You can't do it until you're saved. You can't even understand what I'm talking about until you're saved. Until you trust Jesus Christ, all this is just so much Greek to you and so much mucky, mucky, goobble, 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 gobble, gobble, gobble. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you want to understand this? You need to come to Jesus first and get saved. There's the church of the firstborn that's mentioned here. That's the New Testament church members that were faithful. You says, what about those that weren't faithful? Well, they're going to live out in the dominion. They're going to have glorified bodies. They're going to be happy. How happy do you want to be? If I don't tell you about this and I don't warn you about this, what kind of a preacher am I? If all I tell you is 3 points, a poem, a cloud of dust, and high old silver away, and completely forget about what he said in Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What about people that were never baptized? Well, they're going to be out there in the dominion. What about people just got saved? They're going to be out there in the dominion. This is a household of God. It has a whole lot of people in it. What we're really talking about is where you want to live after you're saved. But the first question that has to be settled is, are you saved? The last thing is spirits of just men made perfect, complete, the saved of all the ages. This has been true ever from all the way from Adam and will be true to the very last man on this earth. People either believe that the seed promised to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15 would one day come or they didn't. Down through the ages, if they believed it, they were saved. If they trusted in that seed, the promised one, the Messiah, who would come. And as far as God is concerned, they were made complete. They were made complete because they had faith that the Messiah would come and deliver them. Their faith was in Messiah, not in themselves. And when they tried to keep the law, if they were honest with themselves, they realized that they could not keep it. And in desperation, they ran to God, asked forgiveness for being unable to keep it, and just put all their faith in Messiah, because they saw themselves as what they were, unjustified sinners that needed a Savior. That's why Paul wrote in Galatians 3:24, "For the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Has it brought you to Christ? Have you, in trying to do good, found that many times you do evil? Have you tried to have good thoughts all the time, but many times you have bad thoughts? Have you tried not to be jealous? Have you tried not to be angry? Have you tried not to do all the things that God indicates are wrong? Have you made an effort to keep the Ten Commandments? Have you tried to religiously follow the teachings and do exactly everything that Jesus said? And have you fallen flat on your face? If you're still trying to do it, thinking one day you can, you're headed straight for hell. Because the law was given, the commandments, to show you how pitifully weak and sinful you are. And it was to lead you to Christ. For the law was a schoolmaster to lead us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Romans 3:26. This is what I've learned. I tried to keep the law. I tried to do all that to be saved. Oh, I still try to keep the commandments. For the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. When I fail, I have an advocate with the Father. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 3:26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. I stand before God, bowing my head, and acknowledge that I am an unrighteous man, and that the only righteousness I have was imputed to me by Jesus Christ. I confess that I am a sinner in the flesh. I confess that my soul still makes wrong decisions. And I confess that I know God's word is true. And I confess before God that I know every time I ask Him to forgive me, when I make the wrong choice and follow the flesh, I know He forgives me. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can't justify yourself. The only just man who ever lived was Jesus Christ. And God declared His righteousness to us, that God might be just in justifying us because we believe in Jesus. I stand before you as a sinful 72-year-old man whose only righteousness has always been that of Christ. I received Him 60 years ago. He is my eternal Savior, and I am eternally saved in Him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I'm justified by God. God is just in justifying me because I believe in Jesus. You say, I've got to do something. Yeah, you sure do. You have to trust Jesus. There's no other way. You cannot have confidence in yourself. You must realize your helplessness, and you must simply trust Jesus to save you from what you are by birth and nature. Revelation 21:24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. These are where the spirits of just men will walk. This is the final heaven age. It is the age of a new earth that God creates after the millennial reign. It is a new city that will come down upon us that's three-fifths the size of the United States. You want to live on the dominion, the new earth, or you want to live in the city? Plenty of room in the city, three-fifths the size of the United States. That's where I want to live. Those people out here will be very happy. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of the kings of the earth who bring their glory and honor into it. I want to be a faithful member of the Church of the Firstborn. I can't be a member of a faithful member of the General Assembly. That age is finished. They're all dead. But I can be a faithful member of the Church of the Firstborn. Are you saved? Well, I've got good news for you. You're going to live out there in the dominion. But let me give you some good news since you know Him. You want to live inside that city? You want to be in the immediate presence of Jesus? You want that forever? It's going to cost you something. Not your salvation. It's going to cost you part of your life. It's going to cost you the awareness that someone loved you and gave himself for you. It's going to cost you a commitment It's going to cost you to try and do what he wants. It's going to cost you to submit to his will. And it is a commandment to be baptized. It doesn't save you. You want to live in the city? It's up to you. It's not up to me. But you can't live in the city. And in the millennial reign, you can't live in the kingdom complex unless you're saved first. Revelation 22:14. This is what I want. Blessed, Makarios, ecstatically happy, are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Jesus is the tree of life, and he lives inside the city. You want to be in his immediate presence forever, after the millennial reign, forever and ever and ever? That they may have right to the tree of life. It's inside the city, and may enter through the gates into the city. There's going to be an angel at each gate. Wonder why they're there. Could it be that since angels are watching us right now, and since they are in another realm or dimension on the other side of this flesh, could it be they know everything that you've ever done or ever will do? Could it be that they're there at the gates for that reason? Look, I'm 72 years old, don't have very long to live. Learned a few things along the way, forgot most of them, but I know this. First of all, I know something every one of you need. If you haven't already been saved, you need to be saved. When? Now is the appointed time of salvation. You want to be passed from death to life? You want to be taken out from under the condemnation of God? You want Jesus Christ to give you rest right now? You've got to come to him. Not to me. Not to baptism. Not to church membership. You've got to come to him personally. He said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Here's the really good news. I hear preachers all the time say, well, I led this one to the Lord. I led that one to the Lord. I understand the meaning. But why can't you just go directly to him? I'm not an intercessor. He is. We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. In that silent moment of prayer, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, realizing he's the only one who can, right now ask him. You'll be praying to someone you believe is alive. You wouldn't pray to a dead man and ask him to save you right where you're sitting. He will, as we have this silent moment of prayer.